Okay, everyone. Thank you for joining the Monday, September 27th, 2021 BC Edu Task Force call. The first thing I'm going to do is just review the agenda. We have a small group today, so this probably won't be a very long meeting, but maybe it will be, so we'll see. So the first thing I'm going to do is review the agenda, and then, which I just didn't know, we're going to go over the IP note, how we do call notes, scribe selection, any introductions and reintroductions if we have any today. We're going to talk about the new BC Edu mailing list and then continue on with the charter and work item scope discussion, which we have some updates on today. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add to the agenda? Okay. I'm going to take the silence as a no. So IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be done by members of the CCG with full IPR agreements that are signed. And I'm going to put a couple of links in the chat for this. This link is how you request a membership. And then this next link right here. That link is for the Community Contributor License Agreement at the W3C. So in these meetings, minutes are taken and there's an audio recording of everything that is said. And this is all archived at this meeting's URL. We also email these meeting minutes and agenda out to the main CCG mailing list and now soon to be BC Edu mailing list. We use chat and IRC to cue speakers during the call and as well as to take minutes. So if you would like to add yourself to the queue, please add a queue plus like I am in the chat right now. And if you'd like to take yourself off the queue, please queue minus. If you would like to make a note as to why you are queuing yourself, you can do this. Here's my topic. And then if you no longer need to be in the queue, once again, do Q minus. Okay, now we need scribes. Oh, a scribe, I'm sorry. Would anybody like to volunteer to be a scribe for today? Scribes do not have to do everything word for word. It is just to sort of cover the topics overall so that we can have a record for those who can't attend the meeting. Okay. We do have a scribe list. And most folks in here do scribe pretty often. Steve Gantz, would you be willing to be our scribe today? You've done this before, though, in the main CCG, I've noticed. Is that true?
Sure, I'll do that, yeah.
All right, you did a great job there. Thank you very much for volunteering today. Okay, thank you. So any new introductions or reintroductions today? Anybody new to the call that would like to introduce themselves? Any reintroductions? Okay. Any sort of announcements and reminders. The only one that I have is a recommendation to join the overall CCG calls on Tuesdays, which are at noon Eastern. This is a link to those meetings. Hey, does anybody else have any announcements and reminders? Anything coming up that folks should be aware of in the groups that you're working in? Or projects that you're working on. Phil, you were in the queue.
Yes, just for those interested, there is a Learning and Employment Record Network meeting today at 3:30 Eastern Time, and I will drop the link in the chat for anybody who's interested, and all are invited to attend. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I know I will be attending at least part of that today. Okay. Let's get to our main agenda items. So the first one is that we now have a VC Edu mailing list. I talked to the chairs and we decided this would be a good idea. I thought it'd be a good idea because the main CCG mailing list is very technical, which is great when you are a developer and you need support and also if you're like truly trying to understand what is going on in the broader ecosystem. However, we have a lot going on in education specifically, and it's a lot to be able to filter it all. So we thought, well, why don't we have a VC Edu mailing list where we can have discussions that are related to education and workforce verifiable credentials specifically. So where we can ask questions, where we can learn, where we can really just sort of reach out with each other and work as a community towards what we want to accomplish right in this space. I would suggest that anything that is more technical be brought to the CCG mailing list. But I think that this will be great because as we move ahead with more standards, alignment, and pilots, and we're moving ahead pretty fast now, we want to be able to inform and engage as many people as possible. So this link right here, if you haven't joined already, gives you instructions on how to join and also how to see the archives. That is a link to hang on to. I am also going to give you the link to the main CCG if you are not part of this mailing list. Same thing with this URL where you can subscribe and also view archives and also see how to send your own topics to the list. There will be some crossover. So for instance, meeting agendas and meeting minutes and audio recordings will be sent to both groups. Because while not all of us may be on the main CCG, we would like everyone in the main CCG to know what's going on in the task force, since we're a subgroup of the main CCG. Hey, does anybody have any sort of questions or comments about the mailing list? Okay. Yeah, we can come back to it if anybody has any thoughts and comments about it, but I'm really excited about it. I think that it's a very accessible way for folks to communicate. Already we have quite a few members on there, so it's just sort of great to see that engagement. Alrighty. So we have been working on revising the charter. Last week I presented some suggestions and we discussed consensus and those things. And so I made a revision. Actually, many revisions. So I'm going to put that in link in the chat here, and then we can all look at it together. So the plan for this, did I give you the right link? No, that's the scribes list. Sorry. Try that again. Okay. I'm going to share my screen too for a moment. Okay, everyone. So I'm going to go through the various sections in the updated charter. It is very similar to the existing charter, but there are some changes in here because, you know, times have changed, things have changed. What I would like to do is share it with you in this call and then leave it up for comments until the next meeting. And then we can make any edits and then see where we stand on it next week and then move forward. Then after we do this, I'm going to just go over with you, these work item drafts for our reports too. And we'll do the same thing with these. And this way we will be all organized and ready to move forward on the reports themselves and the issues in those reports. I'm not going to read all of these in detail right now. I'm just going to go through each section. And then if you have a question, I'll check the queue every so often to see if anyone's in there. And if I don't see you, feel free to speak up. There are only a few of us on here today, so feel free to let me know if you have something to say. So I wanted to reference the history of the DCC Ascend and also the history of the LAR Wrapper. You know, sort of as we discussed with Jim Goodell last week, the LAR Wrapper was intended to be a demonstration of how you can wrap one of the many education data standards inside a verifiable credential. Even I at the time sort of misunderstood like what was going to happen with that recommendation. But what we ended up deciding, what I think overall everyone ended up deciding, was that this really wasn't feasible because of all the challenges that it presented. It was a challenge for verifiers to really understand the standards that were in there. And also it was just very hard to, another reason for it. What was that other note down here? Of course, because the verification method. So we have these self-contained specifications. We have like open badges and CLR who have their own verification objects inside those standards. So then we were talking about not just content inside of an envelope, but also verifications inside of another envelope. So while this is very important work, because certainly it brought a lot of attention to our space, it's not exactly where we're headed right now. So I created a bigger scope section that you all should have a chance to read out this week. Most of it is exactly the same, right? Our main goal is discoverability of the frameworks and then informing implementers how to use these in VCs. So that hasn't changed. Like maybe the LAR approach might be boiling the ocean, but there may be other approaches to do standards that are in different formats with VC. So we don't want to rule that out, but we also want to explore different options. So and then scopes may include demonstrating how education occupational credentials can be used, providing guidance. Number three, the big one, promoting reuse of linked data and context and vocabularies, right? We don't need to start new. We have a lot of stuff going on in education that is well done and very useful. We also, I think I added number four, and this has to do with the mailing list too. This is something I believe in a lot, and I hope others buy into it too, which is encourage understanding of verifiable credentials in education through discussion, documentation, and models. Excuse me. Number five is where we discussed the formatting. Number six, seven, eight, and nine were part of the previous charter. I left them in here for now because I do think they're important, and probably there will be other things added to the scope that will be important that aren't here. If there's anything obvious to you, please add it in the comments so we can get them in here to be discussed. Check the queue. Okay.
Carrie?
Yes.
I have a question about the scope. So just interrupt and stop me if I'm speaking out of turn because I haven't had time to read the whole document. But, you know, the group is verifiable credentials for education. And then if you look at scope statement one, it's educational occupational credentials. Occupational credentials, I take to mean things like employment records. So let me just stop there for a second. True or not true?
It could be that. Yeah.
I think that it's important for the scope of this group to either include education and training wherever it occurs, including on the job, or to make sure there are explicit bridges to that work, because in Credential Engine's work and probably many other people on the call, we see these are not clear lines, especially as more and more traditional educational institutions like colleges are collaborating with employers in the design and delivery of occupational and on-the-job and upskilling opportunities. So can we have a little discussion about that, or is what I just said obvious?
No, let's definitely talk about it. I think this is important and why this was added. Kim Hamilton Duffy added this a while back, the occupational aspect. So to me, it was just understood that we were including any type of experience, honestly. We have education, occupational, but I think that could mean any sort of learning experience.
I mean, I think that there's probably a useful, sorry, that's my cat in the background. There's probably a useful line to be drawn, at least in pencil, between an HR record that's like such and such worked at this company in this role during this time period that doesn't reflect the learning. But it might need to be a pencil line because maybe the skills that person had to be able to exercise in that role are valuable evidence or something that is within scope in this group. But certainly anything that's actual on the job training and assessment and documented learning experiences, I would want to be part of the scope of this work.
I know that I agree with that. Do you see something in the scope that doesn't include that specifically enough? Do you think it should be clear?
I think that it could be just made more explicit. Because also if there are references in this document to, encourage understanding of VCs in education, well, is that understanding of colleges and universities? Is that understanding of academic accreditors? Is that understanding of HR organizations? Is that understanding of workforce development? So you can see how it can have a pretty profound effect on the scope, that is probably a good idea just to be explicit about.
I agree. If you have a chance this week, could you put in some comments where you think it could be clear and how you would clarify it? That would be super helpful.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you.
Carrie?
Yes, sir. Ms. Phil, please go. Your turn.
I just wanted to follow up. And yeah, that was a good observation and sort of one of the concerns I think that we all have with the proliferation of interest in this area and the multiple groups that are out there doing various things that we many times feel obliged to be at everything and can be a problem with our schedules and time. But I think partly what is worth considering or at least keeping in mind is that in this particular case, VCEDU is a part of W3C, and at least by definition, unless I misunderstand, W3C is a standards organization. And that's an important, I think, characterization of it, because it is more likely to include people with a bit more technical expertise and who are able to actually make meaningful contributions to what a credential in JSON-LD should actually look like. Whereas some of the other groups that are out there with equal interest in this space are much more general or have a population and drawn from a community that's much wider and might be more focused on things like issues associated with the adoption of these credentials or what have you, not necessarily from the technical point of view of how the credential is called via an API, but in terms of the organization's readiness to be able to use them and things like that. So I think what you're asking about is a really important discussion about where the, as you described them, penciled lines are, because there are going to be penciled lines. I think that makes sense. You mentioned HR open as a standards organization describing a employment record history, for example, or a salary history. And I wouldn't imagine that this group would be engaged in that, although it needs to be aware of those things and possibly speak up if there are topics being addressed there that cross over the recognition of formal training or informal training for that matter. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I hope we can have this conversation to better focus what we do and encourage others that have similar interests, but maybe outside of the strength of this particular group to do those things as well and just keep in touch with each other so that we coordinate. Thanks.
Thank you, Phil, and thanks, Deb. I think these are excellent points. I scrolled a little further down into the document because I updated the foundational group section to include more explicitly HR Open, but also the work going on the new networks at the T3 Innovation. Because I think it's important that we are able to have all of these discussions together. I think there's a lot of cross attendance between the two. And while verifiable credentials at W3C tends to be the more technical group, we certainly have people attending these meetings that aren't very technical, who just want to understand what is going on. So hopefully we can make sure that we are saying, hey, we're foundational, we're trying to help provide the guidance for all of that work to happen, but also we need your use cases so that we can do that, so that we have this cross-collaboration.
I'm glad you mentioned use cases because that's a really clear way to frame it.
Yes, and actually, why don't I scroll down a little bit here so you can scroll down to everything. But one of the approaches here, which is actually down here, for our general work principles, and this was also established by Kim and Anthony before I even joined as a co-chair, is this use case focus. So how this should work is that everything we do should cover a use case. That way, if we have objections or, we're wondering, we have questions, we can look back to these use cases and say, we have this use case. Let's talk about how it relates to that. And I like this note here because I think it opens up for innovation where we may be writing use cases that are theoretical. But let's get them in the use cases report anyway so that we could have them there as part of our discussions. I don't see anybody else in the queue. I'm going to scroll back up here a little bit, make you all dizzy. I edited quite a bit of this approaches interoperability section. In fact, I took out a whole column here and really just wanted to focus on what our approach will be, what we aim to do, and how we're going to be using existing standards. And what we really want to do is be the definitive standard for VCN. Okay, so we want other education standards to say, wait, we want to become part of how to do verifiable credentials. So we want them to look at this group. We want them to say, okay, this is what they're recommending. So we're going to follow those guidelines. In a few weeks or so, we're going to have a discussion about having our own context file for VCED, which will help to establish that. And that could be because context files, JSONLD works sort of in hierarchies. We can have the main verifiable credential context file, one for VCED that may specify things for VCED specifically, and then other standard bodies can have their own files that they can either inherit or add their own properties. Excuse me. We also aim, of course, to be, we want to do be as interoperable as possible, but not to the LER wrapper standpoint, right? We want the verifiable credential data model to be the primary data model, and then work with folks who are using other standard bodies to work with the VC standard. And then also we aim to use vocabularies that already exist. So we don't want to reinvent any wheels. We have so many other properties out there, right? We have other standards organizations and organizations working on specifications out there. So we have CTDL, we have schema.org, we have Europass code lists, and then we have IMS Global that is working on a common data model, which right now we have open badges and CLR. So we have a lot of properties out there that are useful that we can point to from here. Pause here, look in the queue. Okay, the queue is empty, but does anybody have anything to say at this stage, any concerns or questions? Okay. Participation communication remains the same, except that we're now in Jitsi. And we already went through this last bullet in the general work principles. We discussed this last week, what consensus means in this group. And we discussed how we approach work items in terms of, like, once we have consensus, then we shouldn't reopen it. We should just go with it. Right? And then we want to talk about being radically transparent and open. I mean, this is W3C. We work out of the open. Everything gets archived. So it's important to notice that. Okay, so this next part is actually new to the charter. This is the work items process. And this references the CCG work item process. The reason I put this in here is that up until now, it's sort of been like the chairs of this group lead all of the efforts. But it's not really scalable. So what we're going to do instead is we have this broader scope. We say, okay, we understand that there's a lot going on in education. It could be happening with verifiable credentials. But we can't handle it all in one report. So instead, we can have different work items to handle different specific issues. So for instance, right now, we have two reports that we're working on. One is a modeling document and one is a use cases document. I imagine the use cases document could change and grow over time. And also the modeling document you'll see that we're working on is now going to be a little bit narrower. It's not going to handle all of the use cases that we can think of. It's going to handle some specific subset for now. However, there could be organizations that have other items that they want to work on. Some of these include XML, right, or PDFs, or how to include images or different types of digital signatures that are specific to education, maybe. So how it works with the CCG and how we're going to follow here, too, is that any member of the W3C can propose a work item, and then we follow this process. And the process has these requirements, where there's one group member who is willing to commit to being the first editor, and then another group member who's willing to be co-editor. So there has to be two people working on every work item. And then you'll see the other bullet points as a suggested timeline. There's a proposal, et cetera. As co-chairs Anthony and I can help set up these work items. We can support them. We can get you into the agendas, but we can't take responsibility for them. They really belong to those who are organizing and leading those efforts. But this really opens up a lot of opportunity for members of the organization, of the community to say, hey, I really want to work on this thing because my organization needs this. So I'd like to lead this effort as part of VCHU at the CCG. I'm going to pause there and see if there are any questions. Okay. And lastly, I updated these relationships to external groups and initiatives. Feel free to add to this if I'm missing something. I added what I could find that I'm aware of that's being worked on. That's good to note, Simone. Thank you for that note for the CM4 LTS group. You can take that out for now then. And then lastly, so these last two sections are sort of in flux. I mean, deliverables is pretty straightforward. We have two of them right now. So I'm probably going to make this a little bit more generic. And then I'm probably going to take the work plan out. This was actually a Q1 work plan. And I started editing it and realizing that we have some thinking to do because some of these things in this list will be in scope for the modeling doc and some may actually we want to have just use cases for and then have separate work items later. So some work needs to be done there to figure that out stuff. That is our new charter or a very significant draft update of our new charter. Before I move on just to the work item descriptions, does anybody have any questions or suggestions? Does everyone feel really like gung-ho and happy about it? Sorry. It's Monday. I'm trying to like kick off my week and in a cheerful way. Thank you, Phil. All right, John. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate that. Okay. So I'm going to move on to these. I'm seeing Dutch chat. It's a lot. So spend some time reading it this week. Put as many comments as you can in there. I really just threw a lot at you. You could also email me during the week if you want to talk about it. And we will talk about it more next Monday too and sort of revisit any questions or anything that comes up. So spend some time there. Okay, so we have two work items right now. Well, they're not official work items. So they were set up as a community reports that will turn into community notes, but they were never officially submitted to the CCG as work items. So some of this is more just procedural than anything, but also it's a good time to do it since we're narrowing the scope of one of the documents. This one has not changed much at all. Let me put this link in the chat for you so you can just see it. These will be submitted as GitHub issues for the CCG. And as with the scope document, the charter document, I'll leave this up for a week so you can put in comments. I put a link at the top to the overall CCG work item process so you can become more familiar with that. And then the first document is really our guiding document. So this is our use cases document. Let me open it up here. We have a ways to go in it. We do have a repo that has some use cases in it. So I'm going to start looking at that and populating this. But for right now, I'm basically just trying to get the work item established. So this week, I won't be doing any work on this. And I'll be looking for volunteers to help take on different types of work in here. So I'm sure many of you have use cases that aren't in this document or aren't in the repo yet. And I'm happy to reach out to the other groups and try and gather more. But once again, we want to make this document as informative as possible because this is what we'll be using as the base and resource for our work. So here I just sort of described that it's going to document use cases. It's the first document of its kind. I mean, there are plenty of other use cases documents, so I could be a little bit more explanatory here. What is your approach? How are you involving participants? Maybe in here I will add a section, add more about other partners and other groups that also contribute use cases. And how will we make this work item accessible to non-technical audience? So we're going to publish all these use cases on a public webpage. And we have a form already where use cases can be submitted, a Google form. It can also be done in the GitHub repo. And then we've created this mailing list. And then before I move on to the other one, let me check the queue. Okay. Steve, thank you for doing a great job describing. Okay, so then our second work item is this document. This is the one that is going to be the standards organizations will be looking at for advice on how to align with the verifiable credential model. And so my suggestion for now is to narrow the scope to those that are trying to directly align with verifiable credentials. And right now we know that is Europass, Open Badges, and CLR. And that is both single and complex credentials. So that covers quite a bit. It doesn't cover the XML specs or the PDF, the ones that are just PDF. We could have separate work items for those when that time comes. Okay, so the queue, nothing is in there. Just going to open up things to discussion and see how everybody's doing and if there's anything else you want to cover, anything you think I'm missing. I know the organizational stage is it's kind of boring and slow, but once we have this foundation reestablished, we can move forward pretty fast from here. Ideally, I would love to see this model doc completed by the end of the year, because we have so many active standards organizations already doing this, and so it will be helpful to have this in place. And then we can start digging deeper into, you know, other topics and other work items. Oh, Phil, that is great to know. Could I call on you, Phil, to talk more about HR Open, please?
Sure. HR Open is, as some of you know, I think most of you, trying to look at the credentials in a structured way that represent employer-employee relationships, if primarily from an HR perspective. So Deb was on point when she mentioned that they are looking at how to represent job history and position descriptions and things like that. In fact, JDX, which was developed originally by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation, was handed over, because it was somewhat jointly developed at the time, handed over to HR Open and has become the job description template for HR Open, and it is a JSON data model as well. The current activity that's at the moment seems to be at least the most active is chaired by a guy named Andrew Consolo, and he chairs a work group called the Resume Work Group, alternately synonymous with some occasionally called the Recruitment Work Group, but it is looking at what it is that job candidates should be submitting to employers and or employment portals that are structured documents in the context now of a JSON-LD format. And so the current focus at the moment has been on the resume and taking a resume and structuring it as a series of verifiable assertions, and then leaving the current discussion is how to or whether to include in the same verifiable credential free text to be able to write narrative to connect the pieces of the assertions together, or whether those should be separate credentials in the context of a presentation. So you would have all of the individual assertions as separate VCs and maybe a narrative as a separate VC that is associated with the presentation or what. So that's part of the dynamic that's being discussed there. And the last thing that's been introduced most recently is how might endorsement of an assertion be made for on-the-job learning, which is a mutual topic of interest of the Learn group, which has a presentation scenarios work group, which has the intention to look specifically at what might the approaches be to that. And again, the intention is not to write or suggest a JSON-LD data model that does that, but rather to look at the approaches that would be underway and that would be possible to do that, and some indication of what that might look like so it could be handed to a standards group to refine. In this case, handed back HR Open, for example. And that's, I think, a good summary. Phil Barker sits on that group as well and might like to comment.
Phil, do you want to add to that?
No, I think the other film covered it very well. The only thing I do want to add is the comment that I put in the chat window, which is the name of the work group is HR Open Recruitment, and resume stroke CV is the task or specification that they're working on at the moment.
That's great news. We should have them on this group, on this call, 1 week.
Yeah, I can work. I know that Nate wants to have them attend the OSN technical work group as well, and I'm working on that.
Excellent. That's great.
Well, it's kind of a question of who is the they. I mean, certainly to have crossover of like fill and fill of people who are contributing to both that work and this work is valuable. I don't think Andrew has time to be in all of the meetings where he could be relevant. And I'm certain the HR open staff don't have time. So.
Sure. I wouldn't expect they could attend every week, but maybe we could get them in for just a presentation to get us all in the loop. Okay, great. I don't have anything else for the agenda. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to discuss today before we sign off? Okay, well, please sign up for the mailing list. I will send the notes from this meeting to that list. And if you can think of others you know in this space who would like to learn more about verified corrections in education, please also invite them to join the mailing list. And we'll take it from there. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
Thanks, everyone.